Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Anila nijone go shabotya, nijone go shabotya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Way. Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Thirsting for blood, wanting for war, people of Earth no longer care. Darkness grew and evil flared. Now we see the holder of hands taking a look at mankind, fighting and killing waiting and watching. Who will he send? And what will he find? The peacemaker was the one who was chosen to carry the message of peace throughout the world. To every man, to every woman and child. But first, he must start at Ganondagan. Then he locked the sword within. He came with the power of light to a woman with evil ways. Her name was Jugunsatsue. She believed in the words of peacemaker. She believed in a world without war. Children of Ganondagan, listen to her sing. Story of the peacemaker, the love he would bring. To all nations, to everyone, join the spirit of Ganondagan. To all nations, spirit of Ganondagan. To all nations, to everyone, to everyone, join the spirit of, join the spirit of Ganondagan. To all nations, to all nations, to everyone, to everyone, join the spirit of, join the spirit of Ganondagan. Ganondagan.
Music from Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah off her Silver Wave record CD, Sky Woman. The name of the song is Ganondagan, a message for peace. The song's liner note says, quote, Seneca oral tradition tells of the peacemaker who arrived speaking the message of peace. The woman who was the first to accept the message of peace was known as Jiksansat, Mother of Nations. She devoted her life to the teaching of peace and persuaded all who heard her to abandon warfare, unquote. Today's program is entitled Honoring Ganondagan, the Peace Alliance Movement. The Peace Alliance is a wonderful grassroots international movement to promote peace. A primary focus of this movement is encouraging governments to establish departments of peace. We will be hearing more about the Peace Alliance, as well as featuring an interview with spokespersons from the Southwest Florida Peace Alliance Group. For indigenous peoples, peace and formal peace structures are not a new concept. Many indigenous nations throughout the world have peace chiefs. We have councils for dispute resolution and clan mothers that oversee the behavior of tribal members. Our cultural lifeways are based on ceremony, which creates a culture of peace. Reverence for Mother Earth and all life, as well as respect for one another, a basic law of our tribal societies, also ensures peace. On the rare occasions when abuse occurs, traditional tribal laws provide a number of ways to correct an individual's actions to restore peace. These include healing ceremonies, restitution to the family, or shunning and excluding that person from participating in tribal activities until he or she returns to a normal, peaceful spirit behavior. A very rare and extreme offense act that seriously disrupts tribal life could result in lifelong banishment of any tribe or village, and on rare occasions, even death. Prior to European contact, this rarely occurred. We Native people follow the principle of caring for seven future generations. In this ethic, one lives one's life in a way that thinks about how one's actions will impact future life. This cultural spiritual life way automatically ensures peace. Many Indian nations are confederacies, such as my Wabanaki Confederacy, that consists of the Penobscot, Passamaquoddy, Mi'kmaq, and Maliseet. The Great Plains Buffalo people, who are now commonly called Sioux, are a confederacy of the Lakota, Nakota, and Dakota. The Haudenosaunee, more commonly called Iroquois, are also known as the Six Nations Confederacy: Mohawk, Oneida, Onondaga, Cayuga, Seneca, and Tuscaroras. In many cases, our Indian confederacies have treaties with one another that ensures peace. Native nations send ambassadors to each other's councils in order to keep communications open and help maintain peace and friendship. There were times in our Native histories when tribes skirmished with one another. These battles, however, did have rules of conduct. Warriors most often fought to show braveness, not to kill everyone of another tribe. Stealing a canoe or taking horses, or being able to quietly sneak up and touch an enemy with a coup stick, was a greater honor than killing. Another example of resolving disputes between tribes were activities that now may be considered sports. Stickball, now played as lacrosse, originally was a means for settling problems between tribes. So wasn't the game of hockey, and many other cases such as horse races or foot races. Prior to European contact, we Native people never had large-scale total warfare in the manner which Europeans waged war. The 1493 Papal Decree from the Vatican, known as the Inter Soterra Papal Bull, delivered by the Pope, sanctioned the conquest of all the lands and peoples of the non-white Christian world. This was total and all-out warfare by Europeans against any non-Christian. This was a scorched earth policy, total destruction of one's enemy. This type of all-out warfare was a foreign concept to indigenous peoples. The true origin of why Thanksgiving, a U.S. national holiday, is celebrated in America has nothing to do with friendship between settlers and Indians. The governors of southern New England colonies, upon hearing of a successful massacre of unarmed Indians, mostly women and children, by colonial settlers, issued a declaration to hold a feast every year on the anniversary of that colonial attack upon an Indian village that was performing a harvest prayer ceremony. The Peace Alliance is an important grassroots international effort to promote peace in the 21st century. In October 2005, there was an international gathering in London, England, whose purpose was to promote peace and to call upon governments of the world to create departments of peace within their countries. The gathering, the First People's Summit for Departments of Peace, produced a wonderful statement, which I will now read. First People's Summit for Departments of Peace, London, 19 October 2005. Today, we announce the launch of an international initiative for the creation of departments of peace in governments throughout the world. Violence of all kinds is increasing. There is an urgent need to find responsible solutions, expanding on past and present peace-building successes. This international initiative will both provide resources and support for existing National Department of Peace campaigns and assist new ones as they appear in other countries. While the exact role of the department will differ in each country, its basic functions will be the same: to foster a culture of peace, to research, articulate, and help bring about nonviolent solutions to conflicts at all levels, and to provide resources for training in peace-building and conflict transformation to people everywhere. We, the undersigned, joyfully vow to support and encourage each other, to share information, to enrich each other's experience, to listen to one another, and to celebrate our commonalities and differences in our journey together towards a culture of peace. And that was signed by a number of representatives from many countries throughout the world. Yad Kiddushin Native Center supports this international movement. I serve on the International Board of Advisors of Radio for Peace International. We are honored that Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices is broadcast on RFPI Global Community Radio. Our RFPI station is internationally respected for promoting a world culture of peace, social, economic, and environmental justice through a diversity of radio programs aired 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Today, Wolf Mountain Radio program, focusing on the Peace Alliance U.S. campaign, is one such program among many which Yad Kiddushin Native Center have produced on the subject of peace. Before we begin my conversation with representatives of the Southwest Florida Peace Alliance Group, which Yad Kiddushin Native Center networks with, let me share some information about the U.S. Peace Alliance campaign from their excellent website, www.thepeacealliance.org. The Peace Alliance is a nonpartisan citizen action organization advocating for legislation that supports a culture of peace. We work to foster positive, proactive change toward the creation of a more nonviolent and peaceful world. The Peace Alliance is spearheading the national campaign to establish a United States Department of Peace. We have citizen organizers active in all 50 states. The Department of Peace effort was launched in April of 2003. We launched officially in Washington, D.C., with our first Department of Peace conference in conjunction with the second introduction of the bill into the 108th Congress on April 8, 2003. The campaign was originally organized under the Global Renaissance Alliance, now called the Peace Alliance Foundation, a 501c3 not-profit organization founded by our current chair of the board of directors, Marianne Williamson. The Peace Alliance, a 501c4 non-profit organization, insisted to the foundation, was founded in May of 2004 and further organized the U.S. Department of Peace campaign. It is with the help of thousands of citizen activists that we have taken this campaign from a beautiful idea into a political reality. Together, we are building the foundation and infrastructure for a more beautiful nation and world. The Peace Alliance campaign to establish a U.S. Department of Peace is focusing on citizen lobbying efforts to create a U.S. Department of Peace. There is currently a bill before both Houses of Congress, House Resolution 3760 and U.S. Senate Resolution 1756. This historic measure will augment current problem-solving modalities, providing practical, nonviolent solutions to the problems of domestic and international conflict. Domestically, the Department of Peace will develop policies and allocate resources to effectively reduce the levels of domestic and gang violence, child abuse, and various other forms of societal discord. Internationally, the Department will advise the President and Congress on the most sophisticated ideas and techniques regarding peace creation among nations. Recently, Betty and I of Yad Kiddushin Native Center were invited to a Southwest Florida Peace Alliance meeting. Following an informative presentation by the group spokespersons, Rick Gutierrez, Len Powers, and David Gogan, I had the pleasure to interview them for Wolf Mountain Radio. Rick, earlier in the program, we shared the international statement from the First Peoples Summit for Departments of Peace that was convened in 2005 in London, England. Much of our conversation thus far on the Peace Alliance has focused on the U.S. campaign. It is important to reiterate that the Peace Alliance is a worldwide grassroots movement. The issues we've raised, the importance of peace education, domestic violence, mistreatment of women and children for that matter, the need for cultural diversity within the peace movement, de-escalating military expenditures, as well as minimizing conflicts and ending wars and all forms of violence, are the concerns of the whole world. Creating a global culture of peace, to me, is the most important point of this movement. Rick, would you please talk about the Peace Alliance in its international context?
Peace Alliance's core movement has been in the United States, but actually it is an international movement, and there are Department of Peace is being created all around the world. I know Canada, England, and parts of Europe. It is an international movement. America holding the position it holds in the world, if it could create a Department of Peace, would be a role model for the rest of the world to join, a process that is long overdue.
September is designated as International Culture of Peace Month. The U.S. Peace Alliance, the nationwide campaign to establish a U.S. Department of Peace, which would include a Peace Academy, has scheduled September 16, 2006 as a National Walk for Peace. This is a nationwide call for people to support a culture of peace by participating in community walks that raise awareness and money for the U.S. campaign. Here in Southwest Florida, I know our local group is organizing a walk for peace on September 16th, which I hope to participate in, even in my wheelchair. Rick, would you please talk about the nationwide walk for peace? How many groups have organized walks within the U.S.?
Yes, in fact, as of right now, I believe there are 70 peace walks going to be taking place in the United States on Saturday, September 16th. Anyone can check their local area. In fact, if they go out to the website, they could find out where their peace walk will be. In our area, Collier and Lee County, there are going to be two peace walks, one in the Naples area, one in Fort Myers area, and both of them are going to be on Saturday, September 16th.
I'm gonna walk right now!
music from Aotearoa, homeland of the Maori peoples, now called New Zealand. The name of the traditional performing arts group is Te Matare Ai Oreu. The song, more properly termed haka, entitled Waka Hora Aku, tells of the upheavals of modern-day war and its impact on Maori. The Maori, a nation of more than 120 tribes, are indigenous Pacific Island peoples. Maori, who live in both the North and South Islands of lands invaded by Europeans in the 19th century, have a culture of peace based on indigenous traditional values and spirituality known as the Kingi Tana. In many ways, the Kingi Tana is similar to our clan confederacy's ethics and laws on how we humans are to respect and care for each other in all life, a culture of peace. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Today's program, Honoring Ginundagan, focusing on the international movement, the Peace Alliance. I am speaking with Mr. Rick Gutierrez, a representative of the Southwest Florida Peace Alliance Group, which Yaak Gitxi Native Center networks with. My next question returns to the subject of peace education, which we earlier spoke about. It must become an important priority of anyone who is concerned about peace. We must include peace studies in all of our schools, in every grade level, from kindergarten through university. The mission of the United Nations University for Peace, where I have had the honor to be a visiting lecturer during several winter sessions in Costa Rica, exemplifies the importance of peace curriculums in institutions of higher learning. My work with Florida Gulf Coast University's Center for Environmental Sustainability Education, which promotes the values and principles of the International Earth Charter, likewise exemplifies another model of building a global culture of peace. Rick, I know you are working with International College here in Southwest Florida in establishing a peace studies program. Would you please comment on this important subject of peace education? It is my understanding that the proposed legislation for establishing a U.S. Department of Peace includes education as part of the legislation.
Yes, in fact, part of the bill that's before Congress right now is to create a level of education complement to West Point. Essentially, we'd be creating a college that would have graduates with having the same honor and respect as a graduate from West Point, but in the area of nonviolent communication. Here locally, yes, we're trying to work with International College. They've recently created an American Services Fund, which is helping our returning vets get the education that they need coming back and being reintroduced into society and so forth, returning from the war. So part of the mission is to create a curriculum that would be based in peace education and based in nonviolent communication, and those individuals in particular, having had the experience of being on the front lines in a war environment, would certainly have invaluable information and valuable insight to a curriculum of that nature.
Sitting next to me is Dave Gogan, a member of the Southwest Florida Peace Alliance. So you've been listening to the conversation this afternoon. What comments would you like to share with our worldwide radio audience?
Sitting here listening to your conversation, and just all I could think was, among many things, was that I think peace has gotten a bad rap over the years. It was just so thought of back in the day when peace was a lot of the marching on in Washington with thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and the thought of what peace was there, but I think the whole concept was missed because it was a very anti-everything, and it didn't come from a positive place. It came from a very attacking, negative place, where I think now we have a shift in how we think. Peace is coming from a very intellectual place rather than the anti-everything that it is. I think it's seen a lot differently now, and from your heart, exactly.
Thank you, and as you were speaking that, what also came to mind, which we haven't really commented on yet, and that is integrating spirituality in peace, which again, without being rude, for indigenous peoples, we don't really separate things into categories so much, and much of our cultural paradigms of life is based on reverence and spirituality and ceremony. And so when I use the word peace, it's not just, as I said earlier, the cessation of war or nonviolence or disrespect of women or children or people of other cultures and races or religions. It's actually peace with the earth, peace with the universe, peace with all life. We say in my language, Pantanwe, sacred, the sacred web of life. Would you, David, share any thoughts you have about the aspect that peace is more than just, again, preventing war, important as it is, but is also what I had said to you earlier from my paradigm of thinking, that is peace with the planet, that we can no longer destroy nature. We cannot destroy 100 trees an hour, 24 hours a day, which is the rate of raping the sacred forests of my homeland. We can no longer tear Mother Earth up for coal mining or uranium mining or pollute Mother's rivers, the waters, the oceans. So to me, peace also means the reverence and protection and caring for the environment, for the biosphere. Would you agree? And if so, do you have any thoughts on that?
I absolutely agree with you 100%. I think that peace, as people, we are a people as a one. I don't, like you said, whether it be culture, color, it doesn't matter. As I see people as a one. And you're right, peace is as far as the planet and what we're doing and sending out to the universe as far as energy and protecting where we are and where we live, I think is very, very important. How much more can we keep taking from the planet and expect to keep living here?
I think that ties in with the now, everything, the now. Not that living in the now is wrong, but that everybody seems to want everything right now. And this is what is leading to not thinking about the future, not thinking about what our Earth is going to look like, what's going to be left for our children. Because we want it now, we want to experience it now, we want to buy it now, we want to live in it now. And this is just very short-sighted.
And I'll add to that the aspect of sustainability. The planet itself, I think, is at a place of critical change, and our relationship to it is at a place that has to be changed. And it not only goes from our individual relationship, but our collective relationship. And every time it takes an attack, every time it takes a bomb on its surface, that's felt at its core, even though we see it at the surface. So I think we're at a point that we have to make a change.
Que solemos ver, no hay carencias, no hay tragedias, ahí nunca se puede perder. Hay un mundo diferente, más allá del que solemos ver, es el mundo verdadero, es el mundo de tu único ser. Ese mundo está en tu mente, es el sitio al que perteneces. Ese mundo es la conciencia de nuestra felicidad en el ser. Hay un puente al infinito, hay un puente al verdadero ser, donde el mundo es diferente, donde nadie tiene que perder.
We've been talking this nice day together. A lot of times people talk about creating a new Department of Peace, And I kind of chuckle a little bit as a Native American person, because I don't really see this as something new, as opposed to, in a sense, bringing back something that is ancient, ancient knowledge, ancient wisdom. Wherever you are on Mother Earth, there is wisdom from that part of the land. And generally speaking, it is the native people of those geographic places that are the caretakers and interpreters of those knowledges, those wisdoms that come from the natural world. So when we talk about peace, I think we also need to talk about honoring and respecting the sacredness and knowledge of the land and the place that we are at. And in this case, North America, the traditional homeland of indigenous peoples who we are now called North American Indians. How do you see this concept of peace, of respecting and honoring some of the ancient knowledges that come from this land?
Well, there's several things that can play a role in this, and one of the things that I can see in playing a role is bringing back some of the sacredness and some of the customs from our indigenous cultures that were here before this country was founded. And for example, a talking stick is a very useful device in the process of assembly. The Department of Peace, its mission is peace. I think part of what has to happen here is an honoring of what came before, and a process of in that process, in utilizing some of the tools of the indigenous cultures in conjunction with the process of peace, would certainly be a valuable way to move peace forward and to honor the past.
Thank you. As you probably know, although this is not really taught well enough in American history, the Declaration of Independence, the United States Bill of Rights, was not something that was created by some white men in Philadelphia or in Boston or what's now called Washington, D.C. Really, what those principles are part of the traditional wisdoms and government clan structures of tribal nations of North America, primarily the Haudenosaunee, what is commonly called the Six Nations, Iroquois, the Seneca, Oneida, Mohawk, Tuscarora, Cayugas, Oneidas, whom people like Jefferson and George Washington and others spent time listening to some of those traditional elders and councils. They also, by the way, visited what is now called New England, visited my ancestors, the Wabanaki, my cousins in what's now called Vermont, the Abnaki, the Dakotah of Vermont, the Penacook Confederacy of what's now called New Hampshire, not to leave out, of course, Pokanoket, Wampanoag, the Nipmunk, Narragansetts, and the Quinnipiac peoples as well. In other words, we eastern woodland tribal peoples have codes of conduct, have laws of peace that are very strict. Peace about how to protect one's wife. Peace how to protect and care for your children. Peace how to protect and care for the fact that you don't overfish an area, that you don't take more moose or deer or beaver that you might need. Laws about how do you plant in a peaceful way so that you don't disturb the earth, that you plant in a way that is ceremonial, that shows respect to song and prayer as well. So again, peace is a concept that is really ancient. And having traveled in many places in the world and visiting different indigenous peoples, we have a lot of those similarities. The concept of what we call of caring for seven future generations, that it's really a law among most tribal peoples that your thoughts and actions are considerate about how we will live together in peace for seven future generations, as also to bring honor to the fact that seven generations ago, our ancestors, our people, thought enough about their future relatives who are us now alive. So I think it's really special, and I appreciate the fact that you mentioned the importance of learning and respecting from indigenous peoples. And of course, when it comes to peace, a lot of that knowledge and wisdom is still known by our clan mothers and our elders and our spiritual leaders.
Hey, where you going? Listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yatkinichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yatkinichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yatkinichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yatkinichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yatkinichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yatkinichi's Kinonwatakwisi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yatkinichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yatkinichi Native Center, write to Yatkinichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yatkinichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The song you heard prior to our Yatkinichi Native Center program identification was music from Haudenosaunee Mohawk singer-songwriter Howard Lyons off his Sound of America record CD, Spirit Walk. The name of the song was For Our Seventh Generation. We also featured music from Costa Rican singer-songwriter Johnny Schroeder off his CD, Soy Un Rayo de Luz. The name of the song was Un Mundo Diferente, A Different World. Johnny gifted me his CD at a performance at the UN University for Peace. Johnny's concert was a special program for the Kittirissi Mountain Tribal people, whom I had the honor to be living with during my time in Costa Rica as a U-Peace visiting scholar in 1999 and the year 2000. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I want to again thank our program guests from the Southwest Florida Peace Alliance Group, Rick Gutierrez, Lynn Powers, and David Gauguin, for sharing their thoughts today on Wolf Mountain Radio. Yatkinichi Native Center encourages all of our worldwide listeners to learn more about the Worldwide Peace Alliance movement and become active in promoting peace, human rights, social and economic justice, and protection of our Mother Earth. Please visit the Peace Alliance website, www.peacealliance.org. thepeacealliance.org. As always, Yad Kiddush Native Center welcomes your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to email us at yatkiddushi@earthlink.net. Our email is yatkiddushi@earthlink.net. You can also learn more about Yad Kiddush Native Center by visiting our website, www.yatkiddushi.org. Our website, www.yatkiddushi.org. We shall conclude today's program with a round dance from my First Nations Northern Cree drum, Little Island Cree, off Canyon Records CD, Northern Cree and Friends Round Dance Songs. The name of the song is Indian Country. In this round dance, the singers drum with hand drums, which is different from drummers sitting around a large single drum. In many Native traditions, the round dance is a social song where everyone is invited to dance together. Thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Oh, my God.
sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Imagine there is a radio station working for a better world, social justice and human rights. Independent broadcasting 24 hours a day. Radio for Peace International, Costa Rica. We are giving voice to the voiceless.
Imagine all the people.